In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Here is a quote for you on Reformation Day. Neither the evening star nor the morning star is more beautiful than righteousness. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It is not from our Romans text. Neither the evening star nor the morning star is more beautiful than righteousness. It sounds like a passage from the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or perhaps one of the Psalms. Maybe on Reformation Day you would expect a good one-liner from Martin Luther. There you would be closer, I suppose. The quote is actually found in Article 4 of the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, written by Luther's colleague, Philip Melanchthon. The words are not Melanchthon's. He is quoting Aristotle. And Melanchthon adds that what Aristotle says is right. Now, it might seem strange to bring the philosopher into conversation on Reformation Day, since Luther famously wrote once that Aristotle is to theology as darkness is to light. Luther thought that Aristotle's philosophy was inimical to God's grace in Christ. Luther also said that no one can become a theologian unless it is without Aristotle. With Aristotle, it's nothing but the righteousness of the law. That's as far as it goes. But as far as it does go, Aristotle makes sense. There is nothing really surprising there. He's not talking about theology, but rather about human relationships in society. Aristotle is defending the idea that righteousness or justice is giving to each person his due, what he has a right to, what he deserves. This is reasonable. It's only natural. He's talking about the righteousness of reason. Aristotle was right, as far as he knew, but he didn't understand. Righteousness may be beautiful, but who is righteous? Certainly no one is accounted righteousness before God because of the righteousness of reason. No one, to be sure, is counted righteous before God with any kind of righteousness, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. If we just talk about the kind of righteousness that we can come up with, we don't get very far at all. But the problem is worse than that. As Paul makes clear, there is no one who understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And Paul was right. He knew. This was the situation in his time. He could see the problem before his very eyes. Now, Paul's understanding is still true today, even though our situation is not entirely the same as his. But righteousness is a problem today. It seems the righteousness of reason is collapsing under its own weight. Even thoughtful reasoning is considered unrighteous. Common sense is a sin in the new righteousness of our time. Aristotle is a problem, but God is a much bigger problem. Everything has been turned on its head. Good is bad. Right is wrong. Ethics are unethical. Morals, immoral. And the righteousness of God's law is made to be an existential threat to life itself, it seems. The righteousness of God's law today is an offense. It's a legal problem. The righteousness of God's law today is prosecuted, and God is found guilty every time, it seems. Courts legislate in order to soothe the consciences of the guilty and to grant righteousness to those who willingly and knowingly sin against God's law and are unrepentant. To be a Christian is considered unjust. To be antichrist is to be righteous. And to put it lightly, if you started a petition drive going to pardon Satan himself, people would line up to sign it. But there is nothing light about this, and there is nothing new about this. And this does not exclude us. This is not other people's problem with unrighteousness. It is our problem, and we stand guilty. This is rebellion against God, exchanging the truth for a lie. Perhaps we are witnessing the wrath of God revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, as Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 1. God is our enemy, our culture says. His truth must be suppressed. He must be destroyed. But God prevails. The righteousness of reason has never forgiven a single sin. The perverted righteousness of those who hate God will never save a single life, never offer the slightest comfort to the sinner's conscience, never offer a sliver of hope. No peace. But God's righteousness prevails, and the cross demolishes the whole lot. Jesus Christ alone and his sacrifice, his blood, is God's way of righteousness. His death, his life, his peace, him. The mercy shown by God to those who have no righteousness and only sins is the most amazing and the most beautiful thing in the whole world. But it isn't reasonable, God's justice. It is not natural to justify the ungodly, to pronounce righteous the unrighteous. There is a cost to this kind of justice, the cross of Christ. But this is God's justice, his grace at work, his gift. God's way is Jesus only. The way to salvation is the same on each Reformation Day, the first and the last. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified by the grace of God as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This justification is the righteousness of God himself. It is the same as of old, given for you. This grace of God, this gift, is the same as of old, found only in Christ Jesus, God's own Son, in human flesh, for you. This redemption in Christ Jesus is the same as of old, shown to you in the present time, so that God might be just and the justifier of you as a believer in Jesus. It is by faith. Jesus only. Faith only in Jesus. Not ourselves, not anyone else in this whole world, but Jesus only. This year and forever. Amen.